Good afternoon, Upstate. Welcome to Upstate Outdoors. You're listening to 106.3 WORD with Philip Gentry and Boat Girl.
Happy Boat Show weekend, y'all.
Absolutely. It is the Boat Show. We are coming to you live today from Textile Hall. I don't care
that
what
shows
they call
your
it. It's Greenville, Greenville Convention Center, whatever.
Yes.
It's Textile Hall. Always has been my whole life. That's what I'm going to call it.
So,
I'm sorry. Y'all know where it's at. It's out here on South Pleasantburg.
291.
Where it's always been. As a matter of fact, it is the 50th annual Upstate South Carolina Boat Show. They hauled all these boats in here during the week, and the show's been going on Thursday, Friday, be going on today and tomorrow.
Yes.
And, of course, for the next 2 hours, you'll get to, if you're not in the building,
you'll get to at least hear what's going on around
you'll
here.
You'll get to hear it from us. And basically their tagline is, if it's on the water, it's at the Upstate South Carolina Boat Show. And Boat Girl, who lives in the boating world, what do you think about this year's show?
I'm just glad that we're set up right here with the awesome view of a big old white Yamaha 250 show. Just saying.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, it's looking good.
So she's at home.
I'm definitely at home.
Yeah. If you're looking for us, then we're on the main strip right here, kind of catty corner between Lee's Marine and Strickland Marine and Palmetto Boat Center and 72 Marine.
Yeah, we're right at the intersection.
We're at the intersection of Bass Boat Central. For the most part.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. And it's crowded out here today, too.
Yep. Of course, they got the latest models of boats, fishing boats, pontoon boats, tons of ski boats, cruisers, personal watercraft. I'm going to refrain from calling them agitators today since we're at the boat show and they want you to buy them. They got all kind of dealerships here. Like I mentioned before, Palmetto Boat Center, JC Sports, Strickland Marine, 72 Marine, Carolina Water Sports, just to name a few.
Just about everybody in our local area is here.
Yeah. Yeah, and even a couple from I hadn't seen anybody from North Carolina, but I'm sure there's one or two.
There is. I think Barry Capps is here down there somewhere. I think they normally are doing wake boats and stuff.
Oh yeah, that's right. This year's show is bigger and better than ever, and that's saying something for the 50th annual boat show.
Still going strong.
Going strong. They got a count here. There's 562 boats and watercraft in the building.
I'm sure with 562 boats that somebody, everybody, can find at least one that they like.
That's almost 100. It's actually 80-something, 82 more boats.
Than last year.
Than they had last year.
So it's a bigger show than last year.
Yeah, bigger show.
I think it's grown a little bit over the, you know, consecutively over the past probably 5 years or so.
Yep.
I mean, the economy's good.
Oh, yeah.
And so the shows are a little better, and people are buying more boats now than they were 5 to 10 years ago.
So if you're interested in coming out, then the tickets are available for sale at the door. $7 for adults, $6 for students. That's ages 6 to 12. Seniors 60 plus are also getting in for $6. Kids 6 and under are free, and parking out there is $5. Like I mentioned, the show's been going on Thursday and Friday. The show hours today open the doors at 10 a.m., and they'll be here until 9 p.m. tonight.
Yep, and tomorrow is noon to 6.
Yep, then at 6 o'clock, they roll the doors open, and y'all get to haul all the boats
out. We get
to
haul them all back.
Get to haul them all back where they came from. If you're at home or want to get on your smartphone and look up some information on the Internet, you can go to UpstateSCBoatShow.com. And get all that information.
Or you can just come on by, check it all out.
This is, for me, this is, having been Upstate Outdoors, working on our seventh year, Upstate Outdoors has been broadcast live from the boat show.
Sweet. So you're a veteran at this. This is my, obviously not my first boat show, but it's been the first time sitting in this chair at the boat show.
There you go. So people walk by and they
and they're
look
just
at you
waving
and
go, what are you doing on that side of the table?
That's right. Trying to sell boats. We're not one at a time, and over here we's mass communicating.
Yeah, we're mass communicating. There is some pretty cool stuff out here this year, though.
And we got a good show lined up for you. Of course, we're going to jump into the Upstate Outdoors blog here after our first break. And I wrote this especially for Boat Girl because she does not like the long fishing rod.
I do not.
And so I wrote the Mastering the Long Rod. So you can just listen
Even after years, I still look just, I just cannot handle a 12-foot rod.
5 foot, 2.5 for the 12-foot. I'm going to have to get some 14 and 16-foot rods
I have a couple of 7-foot bass rods, casting rods. And that's the in my personal own stash, not our family stash of rods. I got a couple few sevens.
And you're okay with it.
And I'm great.
Then we're going to have we're going to talk with Vince Johnson from Highway 72 Marine, right there across the bridge from Calhoun Falls. I think that's Elberton, mm-hmm. Georgia.
They're going to be talking about the new Vexus.
About the new Vexus, and they're also a Triton dealer and a
Ranger dealer.
And I won't ruin the news, but some sad news from the world of Ranger. Forrest Wood had been in ill health for several days now, and just got the word before we went on the air that Forrest Wood passed away this morning. Long time icon in the boating industry. I don't care what boat you're, or what part of the marine industry you're from.
All around one of the most likable guys ever.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, sweet
guy. And respected.
And so we extend our prayers to the family there and all the friends. And, you know, there'll be just a lot of memories. And but sad news today from the world of Ranger. And then we got an interview with this guy we had on the show a couple of years ago, but haven't had him on in about either two or three years, and he's always here back in the corner with tons and tons of antique tackle, fishing lures. It's Hack Hensley from Hack's Vintage Tackle.
This is going to be cool.
Yeah.
The old stuff.
So looking forward to talking with him. And then Boat Girl's going to bring us the Roadkill Cafe during the second hour.
Yeah, we're having like a pot roast today.
Pot roast made
kind
from
of a venison stew.
Venison stew. And then and of course our guests are kind of subject to change, because anytime you're out in a remote location and people are running back and forth. But I have talked with Marty Robinson, MLF angler, and Marty's right over across the hallway from us. So we'll get him on the air. And
as long as he's not showing somebody a boat, he's coming over to talk to us.
That's right. And then, you know, I don't know. We kind of got a free space here. We have some potentials.
It's Saturday and it's busy, and we're just going to grab the first random person that comes up.
May not do that, but we'll talk to somebody to round out the second hour. And then, of course, our parting shot for today is a pretty funny story. You know, it's been cold here in the upstate, and it's also been cold in Florida. So we got a Florida man story, which is always interesting, about some frozen iguanas coming back to life.
Because your week could not be complete without a good Florida man story.
No, absolutely not. So come on out here and see us. We're at the 50th annual Upstate South Carolina Boat Show, and we'll be here until 2 o'clock. Show's going on today till 9 o'clock, and we're going to go to our break now, come back on the other side of the break with the Upstate Outdoors blog.
Y'all stay with us right here, 106.3 WORD. So, y'all aren't going to believe this unless you see this, but my husband just put his life jacket on. We are sitting here on dry land. Why did you do that?
We're at the boat show.
What? But you don't have to have a life jacket on at the boat show.
Listen,
are you just getting into it?
Always wear your PFD. When I came in the back door, there's a big sign up there at the Coast Guard Auxiliary. It said, always wear your PFD.
Why do you even have it with you?
Because I'm at the boat show.
Who the heck carries a life jacket in their backpack?
I do. and one of the things that I really wanted to illustrate, this is a...
Do not pull that knob.
No,
it's an inflatable.
Do not
deploy it.
That's like, it ought to have a tag on here that says $70. You know, you can pull this, but you just spent $70.
No, do not pull that.
But
it'll,
you
it'll
can
make
probably
a noise.
Get me a better price on that.
I can, but don't pull the tag.
But anyway, I'm really just wanting to illustrate that, because I've kind of, one of my New Year's resolutions was to wear my PFD more.
And you've done pretty good because you shot me a selfie the other day and you had it on.
And so I'm wearing it at the boat show today. But I just wanted to illustrate that this is one of the self-inflating, and it's self-inflating. So in other words, if I were to fall in the water, it would come on.
Yes.
But also I can inflate it by pulling this cord.
Don't pull the cord.
But it's very comfortable and I can wear it.
It's comfortable enough for him to do live radio.
And I can do live radio on it. And also, I wanted to talk about mastering the long, and it says ride. If you're looking at the 1063WORD.radio.com, then my apologies. I don't think I put it in that way, but maybe spell check. Anyway, one of the most frequent complaints expressed by crappy anglers new to the sport is frustration over handling a fishing pole that in some cases may be longer than the boat the angler is fishing from.
True.
Now, veteran crappy angler Ronnie Capps explained that mastering the long rod even took him some time to get used to it. Ronnie Capps has been fishing long rods for a long time. Handling the long rod isn't nearly as hard as handling the line on a long rod, said Capps, right? Mm. It's not handling the rod, it's what the line's doing.
Yeah, unless it's one of those 18-foot rods and I can't do anything with it.
You just need to get your boat set up to where you can transport and fish with 12 to 16-foot rods correctly. After that, it's downhill except for managing the line. There's just no place to go when you get line twisted around the end of the pole 16 feet out over the water in front of you. Now, Capps said that line twist gives crappy anglers more frustration than any other feature of crappy fishing with long rods. He also said that the prevention before you hit the water will save much anxiety later on.
Okay.
Line twist is a big problem, especially on a high windy day. What happens is the wind will blow the line to the pole and it'll stick or wrap up. And a pole that has a lot of dirt or scratch damage to it, that's from being beat around and never wiped down, is going to be harder to deal with than one that's slick and polished with something like Armor-All. So there's tip number one. If you're fishing with long rods, make sure that you periodically, even between trips,
at least clean them.
Clean them and slick them up with something like Armor-All. And so he says even rods that are well kept and maintained may produce some line twist problems during a hard day of fishing, especially during trolling where the line has a tendency to spin while baits are being trolled. Well, Capps has got a solution for that too. He said don't get your line untwisted with your pole pointed into the wind. Whatever jig or rig you're using, turn downwind, drop the bait in the water, and with the bait in the water, you got more friction, and use that to pull the line through the guides.
You taught me that.
Yep.
Yes.
So he continues on. If the weight of the bait won't pull the line through the guides, put the pole tip in the water, get it wet, then grab the line at the reel. Put the pole tip in the water, bait down in the water, and give it a little shake. And even if it's twisted two or three times, it'll work itself
loose.
I've
seen you do that.
Yep. Now, Capps pointed out that most anglers load twist onto their line before putting it on the spool simply because they don't understand how the line is spooled on at the factory. Now, this really it goes for long rods, short rods, any kind of rods, but more so spinning rods than anything else. All line is loaded in the same direction, and re-spooling in the same direction will automatically cause the line to twist.
Yes.
Now, line goes onto a spinning reel in a counterclockwise direction, he said. Make sure when you spool it on that it comes off the supply spool clockwise so it will go back on clockwise without twisting.
That makes sense.
Okay.
I had to think about it for a second.
Now, even with the inevitable twist that occurs during fishing, Capps has a suggestion for freeing the line when you're on the water. Even if you, I mean, if you get out there and it's all twisted up and it's really bad, it's a lot easier to just cut the bait off and put the pole tip in the water and start pulling line out until you get enough friction that it starts unspooling.
And Makes sense.
Then you crank up the big motor, motor down the lake, releasing the line, letting it go, and it'll unspin. And then when you get, you know, to the end of it, then you reel it back in, untwisting it, tie your bait back on, and you're ready to go.
Cool. I get that, but the long rods, they're scary to me. I don't know how to handle them.
Well, most long, and you know, folks talking about like long surf fishing rods, which are heavy. You know, that's something. But
some of your real long rods are very heavy, though. The 16s.
Yep.
they're heavy, and it's just awkward. I'm learning. I am doing better than I used to do.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know? And then the other thing that a lot of folks do is when they have a fish on, they want to reel
they
the
reel
fish
too
up
close.
Too close to the rod tip, and then you can never get to that fish. I mean, you can't even net it because it's out there.
Right.
And you're actually pushing it away with the rod.
It's too far away because the line's too short.
So really,
basically,
what you want to do is you never want to reel that fish up any closer to the rod tip than where the reel is from
right.
the rod tip. And then all you got to do is lift and swing it to you if it's a smaller fish. But if it's a bigger fish, one that needs netting, and of course a lot of the crappy anglers will use a long-handled dip net, 8, 9, 10 feet long, then you bring that fish in and bring the net and the rod in hand over hand at the same time.
That makes sense, too. We got one of those.
Yeah, or you know, even if you're fighting a fish, you don't have to keep it out there. You lift the rod, and that's going to kind of like a pendulum effect. You know, work the fish towards you, and then you can dip it in front of you. But so many people that I fish with or that are novice fishermen when it comes to long rods is they want to reel that fish up through the end of the guide way out there.
I won't say to the end of the guide, but I'm guilty of, I guess it's because I fished with 6.5.
Well, they reel it up. They reel it up.
And I reel it up to where it would be on a 6 foot.
Yeah.
On a 6 foot or 6.5 foot or 7 foot rod, and all of a sudden this is a 12 foot rod, and my fish is way out there.
And it's halfway between you
yeah.
and the end of the rod.
Yeah, exactly.
So there you go.
I'm gonna practice some more.
There you go. Yep. Get you on the water.
It's about time.
It's about that time. It is. It's long rod fishing season.
Yeah. So. And I know we're gonna do some trolling.
Oh yeah.
Crappie pretty soon.
Oh
so.
Yeah. Much as she hates it, I asked her the other day. I said, "Do you really enjoy this?" She's like, "No, I want to be casting."
Well, it's fun if the
we're
fish are biting.
Fish. Yeah.
But I sort of kind of get like, okay, well, I'm just sitting here on the back of this boat watching rod tips. And with chunking and winding, at least you're doing something. I mean, you can chunk and wind all day and might not get a bite, but you're still doing something.
And go figure, somebody like me who has no attention span, that's the way I want to fish.
I know. Why?
Go figure. There's a lot to do. Well, let's go to our break now. Then when we come back, we're going to talk with Vince Johnson from 72 Marine and get some information on what they got for sale out here at the South Carolina Boat Show.
Cool. Y'all stay with us right here, 106.3 WORD.
What's up?
Welcome back. Upstate Outdoors is on your radio, and we are coming to you live today. The 50th annual Upstate South Carolina Boat Show. If it's on the water, it's here at the Upstate South Carolina Boat Show.
Yeah.
And we every year we come to the boat show, and we like to talk about fishing boats.
I mean, that's just a matter of our preference.
Well, because we're an outdoor show, and of course, I don't want to get into all that argument, but it's
what about agitators?
About agitators. But if that's what you do,
there's those here too.
That's fine. You can have those boats. But we've got a lot of the premier fishing boats in the industry here, and we have got Vince Johnson with 72 Marine with us. Vince, welcome back to Upstate Outdoors.
Hey, no, thank y'all for having me. I appreciate it.
Oh yeah. Now we were talking a little bit earlier in the show. You guys are a Vexus dealer.
Correct.
Is that right. Is that kind of your flagship? But I mean, you guys have got several brands.
Well, you know, they're fairly new, but they gaining traction real quick.
Yeah.
That I'd say as far as aluminum line, they probably own the market as far as quality, manufacturing, and what you get for what you pay for.
Yeah.
But you know, Forrest Wood don't do nothing halfway.
Yeah.
He goes all in.
I got to tell you that Vexus aluminum is by far the fanciest aluminum boat that I have ever seen.
It is.
Stunning.
It's very nice.
Stunning boat.
It's very nice. And their glass boat is also the flagship.
Yeah.
And it's a best quality made boat out there, I think, bar none.
And what are you powering that boat with?
Usually four-stroke Mercury, four-stroke Yamaha. Yeah, I can get Evan Rude, Mercury, or Yamaha. You know, don't mind.
Oh, okay.
World's turning four-stroke, as you know.
Yeah.
So.
And you had mentioned about Forest Wood, and we got the news a little bit earlier before the show broke today about his passing. And I tell you what, just talking about the legacy that he's left in the boating industry.
Oh, there's no question. I mean, without Forest Wood, I don't think you know where we are today if any of us are sitting here talking about these boats. I mean, not just with Ranger, with everything he was affiliated with. I mean, even all the way back before Earl Bentz with Hydrosport, he was involved long before that. So, I mean, it's a sad day, but if I know Forrest, he would want us to be here selling boats.
That's right. And a lot of folks even don't realize that the namesake for the FLW Tour, that's for Forrest L. Wood.
All the way back to the Red Man.
Yeah.
I mean, all the way back.
Probably the pioneer of the sport as we know it.
Yeah. By far.
I mean, like the forefront guy. And just as awesome as everything that he's been affiliated with.
And as awesome as Forrest is, let's not forget about Nina. She's been right there with him the whole time.
Yeah.
So, I love them both, and I feel sorry for them. I'm praying for their family. I know Keith and Randy, the guys, wonderful people, just a great, great Christian people, and I feel sorry for them.
Yeah.
It's tough.
Now, you guys are over across the 72. Obviously, the name is 72
right.
Marine. You're in Elberton.
That's right. We're in Elberton, Georgia. We're on Lake Russell, closer to South Carolina than we are to the city of Elberton.
Yeah.
So we can be in Calhoun Falls and turn off 81 on 72, and you there in 2 minutes.
You walk to Calhoun Falls.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
If you wanted to.
You could. Yeah. I mean, we're that close.
Yeah,
so.
That close. So how long have you guys been out there now? Because, I mean, I remember I bought a boat from 72 Marine.
A long time
back
ago.
Back in the early 90s.
Didn't you buy your Triton there?
I had a Triton fishing ski that I bought from 72 Marine.
In the early days of Triton, if you bought one, you most likely it came from us.
Yeah.
We've been there going on 42, 44 years.
Now, you're not that old.
I'm not that old. I'm only 29.
Okay.
He was born into the business.
My grandfather started it. And actually, before it was a boat place, we had a little – my great-grandfather had a general store, convenience store, eggs, milk. You know, the necessities for the area.
Yeah.
That's what it was before that.
Wow.
So we've
in that same location.
Oh, yeah. Same location.
How cool is that? I didn't know that.
You know what they call that? They call that low overhead.
Oh, yeah.
When you had that property for years and years.
They also call it working a lot of hours.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I mean, that just goes without saying. Boat industry is not a job.
Nope. No.
So you were born into the industry then,
yes,
pretty
ma'am.
Much.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, and that's one of the things. Either you were born to do it or you weren't. It's certainly not for the faint at heart.
It's like y'all. I mean, yeah. I enjoy talking to people. I enjoy meeting people. And it's my goal is that I want to sell you my product, but I also want you to be happy. You know, I want you to say, hey, you know what, I won't come back and buy a boat from you again, or I want my kid to buy a boat from you.
Yeah.
You know, so I enjoy talking to people.
Now, the boom in boat sales over the last – what's it been? Two, three?
Probably about 5 years, I guess.
5 years?
4 or 5 years.
Mm-hmm. I mean, folks can't get inventory in. When they get inventory in, it doesn't stay long.
Motor companies, hard to get motors.
Yep. Did you guys have that? Not. I don't think Mercury did that a little bit.
Mercury got
but
short
more.
With the new four strokes,
and
though.
And they still are.
Yeah.
250, 225s, they are a little short. It's hard to get a loose motor right now unless you're one of these Jaycos who just all you do
volume.
Is loose motors volume-wise. Yep. But as far as people like us that sell boat motor trailer, their manufacturers are pushing the whole package deal on you now. They want the repower day to kind of be slowly ticking away from us.
Yeah.
Which is good for, I guess, for retail and the whole thing. But a lot of folks ain't got $70,000. Some folks only got $20,000.
Yeah.
And there's also a lot of folks, especially like with Rangers – or with Skeeters or whatnot, you know, there's nothing wrong with the boat. I mean, you could take a Ranger just 20 years old and it's like brand new.
It
needs a motor.
That's right.
And so
there's a lot of that in the industry. If I just want one of these new Mercury four strokes, even though my boat's 20 years old, there's nothing wrong with it.
That's right.
And what gets me is like a lot of these bass fishermen and pros and stuff that'll get, you know, a new boat every year, every 2 years. Man, once I get my boat set up the way I want, and it's usually not quick to do that.
It's there.
I want it that way.
That's right.
And
I don't want to start over. That's why I don't understand with a lot of these bass guys. It's like, man, it's a new boat every year.
And you think the boat stuff's bad? These electronics now?
Yeah.
Unreal. I mean, you can buy a graph from me, and in 2 weeks, it's got some update needs to be changed.
Yeah.
Yeah. The crazy thing about it is obviously there's a lot of cost involved. But you can buy $10,000 worth of electronics, and in 12 months they're outdated.
Correct.
You know, because there's always something new right around the corner, always something that does more, you know, says more, sees more.
That's right.
You know, it just it moves fast.
So all the stuff that we're talking about as far as the sales and the service and electronics and trolling motors, you guys can handle all that at 72 Marine.
We got it all. And, you know, that's one thing I encourage people to shop local. I like to do that. Of course, Bus being a small business, local business. But I think when you go to these Bass Pro and Cabela's, you lose – what you can get when you come to somebody like us. I mean,
right.
Agreed.
I mean, I don't see a million people a day, but the five I see, I want to make happen. And I know what I'm talking about. I'll be glad to help you.
And you get to know those people.
That's right.
You know, and they get to know you.
That's
right. It's so important
to
do that.
And we have wonderful customers. I mean, from here, and we sell boats to the West Coast, overseas, and we are blessed and beyond blessed to have wonderful customers like we do. And I don't want them to appreciate. We don't take that for granted.
Yeah.
That's what keeps us here. So.
And some great product.
So, do you have any tip? Being on Lake Russell, do you have any tips for us on how Russell's fishing so far this year?
Well, if I had time to go fishing, I'd tell you.
Amen, brother.
I don't, you know, it's. I know. Look, I love it, but it's. I just don't get to go like I used to. You know, you kids work. Plus, fishing season. I'm working during fishing season.
Yeah, it's one of those things where you get a lot of reports from guys coming in saying, "Man, we did this, and you're like, "Man, I need to go out there and throw that Alabama rig or throw that fluke
right.
or do whatever's going on, and in a month goes by and it's like, huh, I guess they're not doing it anymore.
That's the way it is when you're in the business we're in. But, you know, I enjoy doing this, and if I have to give up fishing just to talk about it, folks, that's fine too.
Yeah.
Well, him and I both know you got to learn how to fish in August when school starts back and it slows down a little bit. It's like 400 degrees outside.
Exactly
hey,
right.
did you do any good? Oh, yeah, yeah, no August patterns. Yeah.
Or you can learn in November when it's freezing cold.
Yeah.
Now, do you folks do anything with – do you have any pleasure boat models that you do pontoon boats?
We
anything
do pontoons.
Like, you do have pontoons.
Bennington pontoon.
Okay.
And most folks – it's kind of a hidden secret because we're such bass fishing people, you know.
Yeah.
We do a good bit of business with Bennington.
Yeah.
And we're – really one of the only Bennington dealers on the north end of the Clark Hill end or on Russell, period, of course. But, yeah, if you want a Bennington pontoon, come see me.
And
cool.
So you get a lot of the pleasure boat, you know, the just want to ride around. And I'm sure, you know, a lot of good fishing can be done off pontoon boat.
Yeah,
but
I mean, I got
a lot of cruising.
Up, but, yeah, it's mainly cruise, but there's fishing pots set up on pontoons. But there's a lot of folks just – I mean, you know, a lot of folks are like, hey, you going to buy a bass boat? The wife says, hey, you going to need a pontoon family to go ride around.
Yeah.
So, and we get a lot of those transition customers like
yeah.
that.
Yeah, you get a lot of buy one, get one. I won't say free, but buy one, get one.
Yeah, and you get some folks that do that, not necessarily at the same time, but somebody says, hey, look, I didn't know y'all had pontoons, but I want this fishing boat, but next year we're going to buy us a pontoon for the summer. We're going to come see you.
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
It's kind of like a his and hers thing.
Yeah.
It is.
She gets the bass boat and he gets the pontoon.
Well, and two, and maybe not so much on Lake Russell, but on some of the other area lakes, there's almost a definitive line as soon as school lets out.
Oh, game on.
And it's like, you know, I just don't want to fight all of it. And Boat Girl and I kind of, we get the same thing where it's like, well, fishing's either early or late or both. So the middle of the day, still want to be on the water and enjoy it.
Of course.
Why not have a pontoon?
Well, and the pleasure boat market, especially pontoons, is just literally exploded the last 5 to 8 years.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a boat down here that's $300,000. And
wow.
It's a ski boat.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, I never thought I'd see a pontoon be $100,000. But, I mean, it's an everyday thing now in our industry. So.
It's crazy.
It is crazy.
Just wonder how long that'll last, I guess, as long as people.
Till the money runs out.
Yeah. As long as the economy's good.
Well, the market's good right now.
Yeah.
And that's a big thing for our industry.
And before we let you go, so you speaking of which, you guys do financing and stuff there for folks?
Yeah. In-house financing, you know, in-house service. We got sales, service, financing, the whole works. I mean.
Everything you could possibly need.
Awesome. So tell our folks again if they're interested in maybe in, and I'm sure you do a lot of online sales too.
Yep.
Tell folks where they can go to check you out and also where they can come see you.
Yep. You can 72marine.com, of course, homepage, all our information, address, phone numbers on there. 706-283-7800, 72marine.com.
Awesome. Vince Johnson from 72 Marine. thanks for being out here. They're on the main drag right here. You come out here if you've been to the boat show. You same location they were last year and probably the last year too.
Lot of last year.
They'll be
can't miss
happy.
And I appreciate y'all having me.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Great interview. And so we're going to go to our break now. We'll come back. We got Hack Hensley, Antique Fishing Tackle. Dig up them old Fred Arbogast. Bring them on out here to the boat show.
Heck yeah. Y'all stay with us right here at 106.3 WORD.
All righty, and we're back here, Upstate Outdoors, and for the, I'm going to have to check that, but I'm pretty sure.
What?
Seventh consecutive year, Upstate Outdoors is broadcast live. I'll check that during
the break. You're like a boat show veteran.
That's right, and we are at the 2020 Upstate South Carolina Boat Show, the 50th annual. Can you believe they've been bringing boats into this building for 50 years?
50 years.
I wonder if it's always been in this building.
Probably so, because this building was built many, many, many moons ago for the textile shows. Because
it's Textile Hall.
Yeah, well, that's true. And it'd be cool, like, for Greenville to do a historical thing and rename it the Textile Hall. I was thinking about that during the break.
If they'll name it whatever.
Heritage Textile.
Whatever business or sponsor. Yeah. That's what they want to do. Well, hey, we got to welcome our guest, Hack Hensley, from Hack's Antique Vintage, Hack's Vintage Tackle.
Yes, sir.
Hack, welcome back to Upstate Outdoors.
Thank you.
Now, you've been fooling with old fishing tackle for how long?
25 and 30 years.
Wow.
Wow, yes. That's right.
Now, in of course, like anything, you know, the folks who are in kind of in my age bracket, the 50, 60 years old, you know, they fish with lures back when they were a kid. Maybe their dad or grandpa gave them a hand. And then they don't know what happened to it.
That's correct.
And nowadays they're like, man, I wish I had some of that old tackle that I got from my grandpa.
Yes, sir.
And so you're kind of in the business of buying, selling, trading, and stuff like that. Tell us a little bit about your business.
Well, I collect in order, you know, unless you just eat up with money, in order to collect, you kind of trade and buy and sell, you know, just to boost your collection.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, and you get a lot of interesting people contact you once they find out who, you know, you do that. And if you join in on some clubs and things, there's the CATC, local club, Carolina Antique Tackle Collectors.
Wow.
I was the president of the club for many years, and I just stepped down back in November, and Steve Herzog is our new president.
Okay.
That's our local club, and we'll have shows in Hendersonville, Greenville, Myrtle Beach, you know, different places. And then they have the NFLCC, which is a national. I just went to a show up there in January, 1st of January, first week of January. Yeah.
So folks come to the boat show. Are they just coming to look at what you've got, or do they come in and sit down and trade, or – you know, what are you doing over here in the corner?
A lot of them, they come and look because they are looking for a specific lure, and it's got a lot to do, like you said, they had that one as a kid, or their dad had it, or their grandpa had it, and they looking for certain things.
Yeah.
At you, because these major companies kind of have taken over and put, you know, a lot of these little companies, you know, are gone.
Right.
And that's what they're looking for, is what the stuff that was made. There's a lot of local baits that was made, Suddeth, Gup, and things like that was made local, and people come to me hunting that
particular
bait.
And I'm gonna tell you what, I'm proud that you brought that up, because Jim Harder was a dear friend of mine. I didn't know Dickie Ridgway real well, but Harder was a dear friend of mine, and I've got, man, I won't even throw them anymore.
Yeah,
I got several Gulps that were made, and it's kind of funny. And I don't want to take up a lot of your time, but Harder brought me it's kind of the same when he was making them, of a crawfish pattern Gulp.
Yes.
That the Atlanta Constitution Journal, I mean, there's no records kept, but said was the Lake Hartwell record largemouth bass caught on that. And I actually did an article for several different publications about that. I think it was a 13 and change or a 14 and change largemouth bass.
I read that same article probably 20 years ago about that lure being caught off of a gup. I read that same article.
Yep. So I tell you what, in fishing tackle brings a lot of people together.
Yes, sir.
I mean, not just guys who like to fish, but just like you said, the antiquity and just thinking about the good old days.
I heard you talk to someone earlier and mentioned the word Fred Arbogast, I think.
Yep.
You said that. Well, you meet a lot of interesting people, and just a few months ago, I had a man that was a distributor for, I think it was called Southern Tackle, up in Tennessee.
Yep.
And he had the first original 12 jitter sticks, which was a spinoff from Jitterbug, that was made and hand-picked from the factory and mailed to him. And I got those from him, and they were the very first ones produced.
Wow.
You know, and a letter from the factory said that.
Wow.
You know.
Wow.
And so you meet a lot of interesting people.
Now, tell us about these lures that you brought here for me and Boat Girl. Now,
I got
a Brokeback Creek Chub.
That's a Pikey Minnow.
Okay.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's probably late 20s, early 30s. Bait. It's got the glass eyes. It's
got a metal lip on it.
Yes, sir. That's a deep diving bait. From the 30s at the latest.
Now that doesn't feel like balsa wood. That feels like more of a hardwood. What's that construction?
I'm not sure what they made that, but it's so old. It's just so dried out.
Yeah.
Right.
You know.
And
okay.
You know.
This was before the days of
injection
molded
plastic.
Mine
plug.
Is a head.
That's a head and L rig vamp, and that's a little bit older than this bait. That probably goes to the 20s. You know, that's pretty.
So yeah, and it's amazing and I know there's a lot of custom bait companies out there, not mass produced baits, but a bunch of custom bait companies out there now that will try to replicate the old stuff.
Yes, yes.
Because with mass produced baits, bass have seen all those before.
Yeah.
And so you get your custom painters in that are kind trying to replicate some of the things that were working back 20 years ago,
yep.
30 mm-hmm. years ago. Mm-hmm. And it's pretty neat to see that.
Yeah, yeah.
Now,
these was all hand-painted from those people that worked in the company. I've seen pictures of them employees sitting there at a desk and building these things and painting them all by hand. And, you know, you just don't get that
in mass production.
Now, let me ask you this. What is the oldest, most valuable fishing lure that you've got in your collection right now?
Oh, I've got a lot of that stuff worth what somebody's willing to pay for.
Oh, yeah. It's like any other antique.
And I had always liked a lure called the Hungry Jack. And years ago, I was at Little Rock, Arkansas at a show, and I found a man that had a print of a Hungry Jack lure hung on a limb and, you know, kind of down at the water's edge.
Yep.
And the line broke, you know, and he had done like 250 prints.
Right.
So I got one of those prints from him, and then I found the matching lure for that and put all that in a shadow box frame.
I bet that's cool.
And that's worth right smart money. You know, of course, I probably never sell it because my son kind of he kind of likes that.
And a lot of folks do that. It's not so much collecting them just for collections, but they want to display them too. And like you said, if it's a picture of one or something that granddad had, I guess you see a lot of that where they're making them into it's beautiful displays for somebody, you know, in their shop or in the house or something.
That's right. A lot of people, they get stuff from me where they say, well, I'm going to put this in the shadow box or what have you.
Yep.
Or their son's building something, they won't put that in there.
Now, before we run out of time, if folks are, if they want to get in touch with you, maybe they're looking for something or they want to trade something with you, what's the bit? You don't have a retail location, do you?
No, sir. I just, this is just a fun thing for me to do, and you can reach me at 864-380-3129 or ctyhjy@gmail.com.
Okay.
Awesome.
So, do you have a website for all this?
No, sir. I just, I'm a collector and I do this.
So, if
out
you
of my
see
house.
Me, you see me.
You got to see him in person.
That's
You'd be
right.
surprised at people that send me emails and stuff because
they
hear about me collecting. And
awesome.
That is cool.
Hack, here's a great interview. Y'all come out here. He's going to be at the boat show through Sunday.
Yes, sir.
Through the whole
yes,
time. And we're going to be here until 2 o'clock. So, Upstate Outdoors. We'll be back on the flip side.
Y'all stay with us right here, 106.3 WORD.